Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the program. This is not a test of the emergency hockey system. This is not a drill. This is actually the program. Back. After some really long-term hiatus. As always, with me tonight is Mr. Timothy Rosenthal. Hi, Timmy.
What is this podcasting thing you've been talking about? I need a refresher here.
Okay, so while we were on vacation, or I should say extended vacation, we decided to bring the show back just because, well, who better to offend as many hockey fans as humanly possible than us? But this podcast thing will be on every Sunday, or as many Sundays as we can humanly fit in, you know, because there's holidays and stuff. And I don't know who put like Christmas at the weird time this year that they did. I'll never know.
Christmas, yeah. New Year's Day. What else do we have in there?
Yeah, we have some. Yeah, we have some weird holiday timing, unfortunately, this year.
I know Columbus Day is on a Monday, but that's still a very, very weird time since it seems pretty early this year.
Yeah, Columbus Day is next Monday.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did this all go? First off, that's going to be fun. Second off, the schedule is all screwed up. For example, the Devils don't play till Saturday.
I know.
Their game was moved to 2 o'clock. They're the only afternoon game. There's 14 night games on Saturday, by the way.
Yes. And guess who doesn't have a game on Saturday?
Timmy?
a very rare occurrence here that the Bruins aren't playing on a Saturday night.
Yeah, what is this? Because, you know, obviously there's 31 teams, so one team has to be left out.
So,
that math.
The Super Saturday thing is not going to be worth the marketing at all.
Yeah, we need a 32nd team, clearly, and stat. But
yes, we do. And speaking of 32nd teams, let's just say Seattle. I think they're actually getting their act together a little bit here. I think they're probably the odds-on favorites to at least get that expansion team anyway.
I would hope so. At this point, you're absolutely right, Timmy. You're absolutely right in every way. Yet, this is Seattle. And there's a long way to go here, unfortunately. I wish I was kidding.
I know. But I think that unlike any other attempts to get a new arena, this one actually has a pretty good groundwork here.
No, it does. Although it was odd that the mayor of Seattle resigned amid allegations. Look.
What timing, too?
I wish... Can I say that on the air? I wish my mayor would resign immediately. That would be kind of nice. Or I wish the mayor from 3 administrations ago would resign just so the Devils would be playing in Rahway right now instead of Newark. Be
yeah,
a lot
really.
Better for everybody. But then again, I would get in lots of trouble for this. Yeah, it's too late for that.
Yeah, we've already gotten ourselves in trouble all these years. That's why we're back on the air, kids, to get into more trouble.
Yeah, there wasn't enough trouble to get into, so clearly we have decided that it is in our best interest to cause even more havoc and mayhem.
One of the causes of mayhem right now, TSN has not updated their injury list. It's still back to last season.
Okay, I'm not going to lie about this, and this was something that I was going to talk about a little later in the show, but why not bring it up now?
Of course.
The Injury Ninja is undeniably sad about this news and would like to let TSN know that Robbie Fabry is still injured. That's the
Robbie
bad part
Fabry,
about this.
Tory Krug is injured. Who else are we missing? Quite a few people here. Quite a few players.
Travis Zajac still injured perpetually from the offseason.
Yeah.
You go up and down. Let's see. Alex Steen still hurt. Jay Bomeister still out for now. Might as well just start going up and down some of the list.
Luckily for us, ESPN has a decent list right now.
Can you believe that ESPN of all places, as opposed to TSN, actually has the list in its entirety?
Yeah.
Should we all be scared about this now?
A little bit.
By the way, dear Philadelphia, this segment not quite brought to you by the Injury Ninja, but it might as well be. Your top defenseman is broken. Yep, that's right. Shane Gostisbehere is being examined by team doctors as we speak.
That one is not on ESPN's list. But
now, it just happened, in tonight, in this evening's game against the Islanders. And, of course, they sent one of their other prospects down, Oscar Lindbaum, right before this, literally. Like, has to be within, like, maybe a minute of each other. This is something that only can happen in Philadelphia. Sorry, kids. Sorry, Philadelphia. It just happens that way. But, I mean, I guess if there's some good news to this, that means all three Flyers rookie defensemen probably will be, if, of course, this is a serious injury. I mean, nobody even knows. It's just, as this was tweeted out, Gostisbehere being just simply examined right now. I don't even know for what, because to be honest, when I watched the game, I didn't see anything. Didn't really see anything out of the ordinary. But then again, in general, it just looked like to me he was a little bit banged up. So I don't know. When we get the news, we will get it to you. Or we'll just tweet it out at 9:40 or like when everything used to happen. Remember, Timmy, it used to be like right around the last few minutes of the show and all of a sudden news would break out of everywhere?
And only the one game schedule of the night. Go figure.
No, that wouldn't...
always a rare Sunday night schedule when this happens.
Hey, look at it this way. You know, I looked this up just for the heck of it, Timmy. Next Sunday's NHL schedule, just because.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do this here at the program. We have to be, you know, responsible for this sort of thing and proactive. By the way, the Sharks and Golden Knights' exciting preseason finale is still scoreless. Early on, so don't get too worked up about that one. There is one game. Yeah, I thought there was only one game on next Sunday.
Mhm.
Why is it the Canadiens and the Rangers, and it's probably on it's probably on NBC Sports, isn't it?
Take a look. No, NHL Network, I believe, actually.
NHL Network. One or the other.
Yep.
All right, let's see if I did this right. At some point, there will be somebody magically on the line with us to talk fantasy hockey tonight.
I'm here.
Oh.
Hi, Daryl.
Good evening.
How are you doing, Daryl?
I'm good. Sorry I'm a little late. I was doing a live draft. We're down to the last couple of picks, so it took me a little bit to get through. But here we are.
We're still working out a few kinks ourselves, because it's been a while.
I'm trying to break this thing in.
No problem. Janet's still stuck in Toronto traffic, so she might be a little late.
Hey, that's a common thing in Toronto. I never like driving through traffic there, so I understand it well.
So we'll do the best we can. We'll talk a little hockey. We'll have some fun.
We will promise not to injure any more players during this preseason, because basically this just literally came in, Daryl. Shane Gostisbehere may be out for this week.
Oh, ouch.
Team doctors are literally examining him, as it was put to us. Quote from Charlie O'Connor of the Philadelphia Athletic. God, I'm gonna have to get used to saying this. It's like, insert the Athletic town here. But God damn it, Chris, why did you injure him of all people, you bleeping jerk? And I quote, I see the injury ninjas in full regular season form, but to bring things back to a little bit of, I guess, more somber news, unfortunately, was the passing this morning of Dave Strader, which I couldn't believe, because he looked so good even last week.
Yeah, unfortunately, that, you know, that often happens with cancer, and you rally, and then it takes you. It's a huge loss for the Dallas Stars family. And we're all kind of shaken by the whole thing.
Because one, you know, couple people I know, and I do one big giant media league with Dennis Gorman and a bunch of people, and we're like, well, we could just postpone the draft till tomorrow, right? And we're like, no, we spent too, you know, people like, well, it's 20 teams and it's too much planning involved. And nobody really is in the mood to do this draft.
I know.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely rough, but yeah, at 9:30, I'll be soldiering on, trying to make sense of this wackadoodle draft, that I'm in. This is the problem when you have a fantasy league with 33 scoring categories. It's just like,
33.
How do you keep track of 33?
It's very tough, I'm telling you, because there's so many. The problem is, too, is there's a lot of redundant categories, like there's shorthanded points, power play points, etc. Let me see if I can I swing this up here real fast? This will be fun. By the way, I somehow managed to win this league last year, and I still don't know how. And again, I could say that for a lot of leagues last year because of the mindset I was in, unfortunately. Let's see if I can hit the few shiny buttons here. Here we go. Goals, assists, points, plus, minus. Right, here we go. Penalty minutes, power play goals, power play assists, power play points, shorthanded goals, shorthanded assists, shorthanded points. Game-winning goals, face-off wins, shifts, time on ice, average time on ice, shots on goal, hits, blocks, defensive points. Whew, it's getting tough, guys. Shorthanded goals, shorthanded points, and a bunch of stuff for goalies, too, unfortunately. Actually, wins, saves, shots against, goals against, shutouts, minutes, goals against average, save percentage, and oh yeah, my favorite category, which I still hate to this day, folks, games won percentage.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
So, wait, shouldn't it just be winning percentage? then, or?
I agree, but this is a full, this is a pretty full comprehensive league. I mean, the one that I've been in for years that now is run on Pool Expert, is not even like this. The categories aren't quite as, let's see if Dennis is listening, redundant. But nonetheless, I mean, look, you get points for naming a league Pierre Maguire is a bloody tool. You have to. You get points for that. That takes some creativity. But wow, this one's gonna be rough to defend, Daryl. I actually had to make the playoffs and win 17 weeks just to make the playoffs last year.
Mm. Gotcha.
Four teams make the playoffs in this league out of 20. Four. Oh, that's right, Timmy. I almost forgot. I still have to form a basic league for us. Oh, crap. Yeah, I only have till Wednesday, right?
Yeah, you got a few more days.
I got a few more days. I can do this, but
don't we have our keeper league still?
I had to kind of delete that one, Timmy.
Yes, that's right. We can't even get that in the old archives. My God.
I wish I could. You have no idea. I won't lie. Winning that league last year did have some satisfaction to it. It really did. That was a birthday present of birthday presents. But aside from that, you know, Daryl has a pretty big, significant like fantasy hockey publication.
It's true. It's a bona fide magazine.
It is a bona fide magazine.
It's called Inside Hockey Fantasy Guide 2017-18. And it is available at insidehockey.com and also on Amazon. And if you get it from Amazon, you can put it on any device you have, which is pretty cool.
This means, Timmy, it's easier to read for even dotards like us.
Yes.
Well, you can increase the page size, which is helpful at our advanced age. It's very helpful to be able to see the page nice and big. And it's full of pictures, too.
Do we, so if we read it on tablet, do we get to, like, flip the pages like we would in a regular magazine?
Just like in a regular magazine.
Boom.
Yeah, take notes on this, Timmy. Because I have the nice, actually, I have it where I can actually read it off my phone, off the PDF reader on my phone.
Nice. We try to get on all platforms. But I think you guys really dig it. It's very affordable, too. It's only $10. And it even is useful if you screw your draft up. We'll show you how to fix it.
Also take notes on this, and I've said this to people. I may be the worst quote-unquote fantasy hockey expert when it comes to drafting. And there's a reason for this. I think it's just because I like to fix my team. I like to see how bad I can make it before I make it better. And I'm not ashamed to admit this, unfortunately. But by the way, we have also deemed that Travis Ajak is never allowed to play in New Jersey again. Just based on the preseason of Nico Hischier alone. It's okay. We nobody cares about winning faceoffs because, you know, you get two violations and you get a penalty. Yeah, that's not worth getting a penalty over. But as Daryl and I were talking about Timmy the last few weeks, The one quote that I'm going to pick out, and I wish Janet was here for this one. I am impressed with this, that somebody even knows how good of a thing this is. But, and it's not even necessarily fully hockey related. Okay, it's not. This is from the Nashville Predators profile on this. Like Daryl, I found myself drinking Tennessee sweet tea last playoff season with the Predators. End quote.
There you go. Wasn't it exciting?
It was exciting.
It was absolutely exciting. Just both Jen and I were totally mesmerized by what was going on with the catfish, all the country glitterati. It was amazing. It was a great, great run. And if they never duplicate it again, it's okay. It was so much fun.
And having been to Nashville quite a few times, got to see the Bruins out there, got to see the All-Star game out there. They're so passionate about the sport. They just need a Stanley Cup to really put themselves on the map, and they've done that.
Yeah, they're really on the map. The team is for real. They're so deep. I mean, think of any team that loses Ryan Ellis. I mean, there's no replacement for him. No problem in Nashville. See you in January.
Yeah.
It's not so bad for Nashville. I think the only concern I had, even somewhat fantasy wise, was, well, twofold. Pekka Rinne is getting to the magic 35+. Actually, as we speak, he's turning. No, I'm kidding. It's not quite within the day, but it's close enough.
Well, that's where Saros comes in to lighten the load.
That's the hope, anyway. Saros was pretty good last year. In that, some games he was hung out to dry a bit, but people have to understand that Nashville doesn't give up a lot of shots all the time. I mean, there's some games that they do, and they get suckered into a high tempo game. But for the most part, Nashville's one of those teams that pretty much is around the top 10 in shots allowed. So that can play a little bit of havoc with your save percentage.
Mm-hmm. You've got the transition to the North American game, and that still takes time. You know, the puck is coming at you a lot quicker, you know, or rather the game is coming at you a lot faster than what you're used to. There's some adjustment there. And I think Saros did overall a very good job that first year out.
Yeah, that's something that people have to realize. It's not easy adjusting to the North American game, and it's not easy making that jump even from the AHL to the NHL sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What was your second point about Nashville that you were concerned about?
It's the point I'm always concerned with Daryl. Will Philip Forsberg score on Tuesday more than any other day this year?
Fair enough.
People have gotten to the point where they're just like, well, why didn't he score this Tuesday? You said he was going to score on it. You have fantasy hockey luminaries just sitting there going, okay, I drafted Philip Forsberg specifically for this purpose. And it's like, wow, okay. But it's going to be a fun first line to watch. Although, there is a little bit of a wild card in this, and I do kind of like how Kevin Fiala has looked a couple times that he's been on the top line in the preseason, at least. So I'm not going to lie, Daryl. I was very worried about how Fiala would come back after the broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
I was. And I don't see a problem at all. As a matter of fact, he looks even stronger than he did before the injury. So
yeah, a real physical demon. I mean, he's worked really, really hard to get himself in tip-top shape, and he's come out of it pretty well. Much like Steven Stamkos. I mean, some of these guys really take fitness to the max, and they would be great athletes and no matter what they were involved in.
Absolutely. Now there is one guy, though, that unfortunately for a team, say, the Ottawa Senators, they're going to miss the hell out of this guy, even if it's for a week, a few weeks, or a month, although I don't think it's going to be for a month. And that, of course, is Erik Karlsson, who had literally half his ankle fused back together.
It's true. They took it.
On 1.5 ankles, I still think he's going to be one of a Norris Trophy candidate. So.
Don't forget, he's a fast healer. They did take a chunk of his ankle bone out, but and if he was a football player with cutting back and forth, that injury would be very detrimental. But in hockey, his foot's going to be compressed in the boot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's going to be gout as long as some people are saying, and I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I've heard about maybe a week or two at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's the latest I heard this morning, about a week or two.
Yeah, he's skating well enough, and it's just a question of, well, yeah. However, there is a fun part with this, and for people that don't know. I love catchy fantasy hockey terms, not named sleeper or, breakout predicted star here, et cetera. Rob Higgins had the Foxy by Proxy, which was a classic.
Yes.
Darryl, of course, has come up with something that is all his own. And if he denies it, we'll just attribute it to him anyway. Like people have just called me the injury ninja and gotten it over with. But now you have to explain to listeners Fugazi.
Fugazi, sure. Fugazi comes from the fourth greatest mafia movie of all time. I'm speaking about Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.
You know, behind One, Two, and Goodfellas. Number four of all time. And there's a particular scene where Johnny Depp is an undercover agent, and he has some real diamonds. And Al Pacino comes in with a fake diamond. And that's in that the Don, the jeweler, as Donnie Brasco is known, calls it a fugazi, which means a fake diamond. We took that term, and we use it in hockey for a player who normally is 100% genuine diamond. Only the best players get this designation, but sometimes, as you know, the best players don't always have their best years. In the past, we've had people such as Chris Letang be a fugazi, and as you can see why. I mean, so many times when he plays, he's tremendous, a total number one rear guard, but then we've had all the issues that have kept him from the ice period. Steven Stamkos has been one. So this is an interesting thing that we have, where we sort of look into the crystal ball a bit, and we try to take off-ice issues, things that we know in the inside from being a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, where sometimes we get a little bit more information than we publish during the year. And we work that in, and we just say that there's nothing wrong with the player per se. He is the great player that you always think he is, but maybe not this year. And there are reasons why. So you should study that player very, very closely. And Erik Karlsson is a perfect example. He wasn't the Fregazi for Ottawa. We had Craig Anderson. But Karlsson is a great example. He could have been a Fregazi, because you look at him and you say, okay, they just took a chunk out of this guy's ankle. What is he going to be? Is as I think it was Timmy who said, even on 1.5 ankles, he's still the best offensive defenseman. Then you go for it. You take your chance. But if all things being equal, when you're way up there at the top, to get a Karlsson, to get a Steve Stamkos, you want to be doubly sure. You can't afford to miss on that first pick.
Yeah, don't miss kids on the first pick, please. It gets uglier and uglier if you do. Previous years of me sitting there picking, let's see. I think last year I had one draft where I was even in the top three. You just sit there. It's like, wait a minute, what is this strange concept? What do you mean I'm drafting third? What do I do? Because usually, with most drafts, it would be middle of the round or later. A lot of leagues, when you win, usually you wind up getting like what they used to call the glory hole. You get the last pick of the first round, so you get the first pick of the second round, because 90% of leagues are snake drafts. So, you know, it's good because, well, yes, but it's bad because you never see that super top player. You usually just see a top player, which isn't, but you get two for the price of one. That's the reward. It's just you have to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait a little longer. The other sort of bad news, and I joked about this a little bit with Janet too. It's like the Devil's depth chart in the magazine. We're just gonna take some squigglies here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please feel free to mark the book up.
Okay, move this one up, this one down. We're gonna add Jesper Bratt into the left wing four. Hold on a second. Zaka is gonna go up to center one. Palmieri is gonna for now go up to right wing one temporarily. Johansson's gonna go over to left wing two for now.
And you know, and in the end of the day, it's not going to make any difference at all.
No.
That's the sad part. We're still a little, you know, in Jersey, still waiting a little bit, but you got to love the arrival of Nico, right? I mean, does that not give you some hope there?
It gives lots more hope than there was last year, that's for sure. Look, I made my opinion known, and Travis Ajak still hates me for this, but he's not a first-line center anymore. And no. This is, unfortunately, now his fourth preseason injury in the last six training camps. Two of them were significant. Obviously, there was the mountain injury on a mountain while he was training, which destroyed his Achilles. Which sacked basically most of the, I think it was, you know, right after Stanley Cup. And it's like that run, and it's like, wow, you really loused that thing up. That was 2011. 2013 was, he sprained his ankle after an on-ice practice coming off the ice. I'm not supposed to know that one. 2015 was the infamous Captain Grumpy Part 2, or Mr. Grumpy Part 2, because of the closeness to him and Jamie Langenbrenner, where basically he again did one of these wacky things where he slipped during practice and managed to again he sprained the other ankle, suppose the left ankle sprained the right ankle, and then obviously this year with the court and the quote-unquote core injury that's going to knock him out for potentially 4 or 5 months. And it depends on reports too. People have to understand that with these types of injuries, players really up against it the entire season. Look at the example of Andre Sequeira, who's basically going to be out till just about the second half of the year. And anytime you tear an ACL, it's typically 12 to 18 months until you're fully recovered. And his age doesn't help either. Ryan Kesler, Darryl, literally destroyed his entire inner core.
It's true. It has to be totally rebuilt. It's like a $6 million man.
His hernia, his groin. Let's see. He supposedly had a double hernia, double torn groin. His thighs were like shredded beef. Boy, I can hear the playback on this one and people going, what do you mean his thighs were like shredded? It was bad. He was playing on basically nothing.
Yeah, it was terrific.
People don't realize he was playing that way from January on. It wasn't like he did this for like just the playoffs and that was it. He did this for another 3 months on top of it, which unfortunately, well, typically when you injure something that badly, it means you're going to be out that much longer. Again, see Kessler, see Carlson, see Sequeira to a point. See Henrik Lundqvist, how not to catch a celebrating William Nylander.
Good point.
Good example. You know, there are injuries that happen just from the joys of winning. But, you know, we go into this not knowing just how many ridiculous injuries we're going to see during a hockey season. We just know that there's going to be a lot of them. And fantasy hockey-wise, unfortunately, it literally is the person that weathers all these injuries the best that most cases wins a league.
It often is a battle of attrition. It's true. That's why it's really important to have as deep a bench and as long a bench as you possibly can, because it's oftentimes those guys at the very end that win you the league. It's not your superstars.
Timmy,
and not only do you have to have a deep bench, you actually have to use your bench, especially if you're in head-to-head leagues. I mean, for those who have minutes played and they're head-to-head leagues like we did on the program, Keeper League a few years back, that could really help. Now, on the flip side, they might not do anything much in terms of production, but that's one category where if you want a cheap win like that, you can. I think you got to use that bench.
Yeah, and to do that, one of the things that's really important is to keep track of those odd day games.
Yeah.
You know, really important to look at your schedule in advance. You know, not just that week that you're playing, but 2 weeks in advance. Make sure you're set up properly.
No, that's true. That's one of the main issues that I often have. And I do it all the time. How many all right. This is one that I've done a number of times, and people will laugh and they're like,
That's just me beaming in with my TARDIS.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
I knew exactly what it was. I'm like, my God, it's TARDIS.
Yeah, we've been actually looking to put some sound clips on that show. We have a genuine sound clip here now. Thank you, Daryl.
We do. Yeah, all I have to do is go back, and when I go through and edit it, just record it. It's like,
yes.
There we go. But one of the funniest blunders that I think I've ever done in the fantasy league to lose one is a couple years ago. I was on vacation, and you know. It sounds stupid that a hockey person on vacation wouldn't think that, oh, maybe I should check injuries and et cetera and such, you know, before I set my lineup. But, yep, I did it once. And it actually cost me a fantasy hockey title because I had hedged and remembered to put in pick up a certain backup Pittsburgh goalie. Some guy named Marc-Andre Fleury.
Ouch.
At the time when Matt Murray got hurt. And I had him in the roster queue and never hit submit. And thought I did. And that was literally the difference in losing a 2-week fantasy final.
Oof.
That was it.
Yeah.
All it took was one simple mistake. And nobody wants to lose money or bragging rights because of something like that. Ever. You never hear the end of it. But, you know, like we said, these are common things and mistakes, and also part of the reason why that we'll have Daryl coming back on frequently to remind Chris, hey, jerk, you know, you might want to set your roster.
Set it early. Set that roster early. And often look at your players. Yep. It's just something you do. You know, you brush your teeth, you take your vitamins, you kiss your wife, you look at your players.
Yeah, I mean it's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's sort of second nature in football because there's just now they play four times a week, but it's sort of second nature every week. Set your lineup, and you just have to get into a rhythm. And then let's just double check for injuries. You know, we do it different than the NHL, of course. We don't have the midweek injury report, so it's a little trickier to follow your guy. So it's, you know, it's totally understandable that it happens, but it's just tough that it happened during your cup finals.
And these are things that happen, though. And that's something that people often ask me. So I had a look at this, and Timmy was actually good with this once again. Timmy always comes through for me when I need something that is absolutely relevant, because some site named TSN forgot to put their update their injury report. Somebody get me Scott Cullen on the line. Get me Cullen.
ESPN has a little bit of an updated one up to today.
A little better.
Yeah,
they
haven't gotten the Gottenspeer injury yet, but
well, that happened at 8:00, so
yeah.
I'll give them a little.
Yep, and a little plug. There's RotoWire has a free service once you
mm-hmm.
sign up at the website,
yep.
And they will send you every transaction each day.
Mm.
And so then all you have to do
good.
Is just check your Gmail or Hotmail or whatever you're using these days, and just go through it and just look for your players each and every day. You know, it won't necessarily help you in that Matt Murray situation, you know, if you don't read the email.
Right.
But at least you're getting the whole league. Any transaction that happens, you're getting.
Yeah, I had a laugh because for those that want to enjoy this. By the way, if you check, say, foxsports.com, no
mm-hmm.
injury report. There's no injuries reported.
None at all.
Sports is also all video these days. That's another story.
This is true, but it is funny. They're everybody's fine, but folks. If you check, totally fine. No one's hurt. There's no injuries. Flying unicorns are everywhere. You get the idea here.
Yep.
So.
Hey, I was impressed with Fox Sports actually posting preseason stats, something I think NHL.com should have done. But hey, at least we know we can look at stats from 100 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I saw the Rocket Richard picked up an assist. You know,
yeah.
So somewhere there's a 90-year-old guy complaining that he lost his pool. By one assist, and he knew that the Rocket really had one.
Yes.
He's shaking his fist.
He's doing the classic Grandpa Simpson, why I oughta. But yeah, it's interesting, because the one thing I do like about, because ESPN, I believe they're getting the snippets from, mostly from beat guys in RotoWire. At least it looks like it, because it looks too much like a RotoWire snippet, and I wouldn't know anything about that. So, but wait a minute, Timmy, Khudobin's injured?
No, he played last night. That
okay, so
been
he's
updated.
Fine. All right, so X him out. Okay, there we go. All right, ESPN, you're still fired. But yeah, I'm just going through some of these. Let's see. Oh, come on. Bernier's hurt now, too? Oh, that's no fun. Not that I was going to ever pick him up, but... Oh, by the way, just one little wrinkle of an injury that cropped up again. Boone Jenner has his annual back spasms injury. Just for people that, you know, are looking for really deep players to add in their fantasy draft. And not only is it bad enough, it doesn't look like he's even skating with the team at this point. So, game one, probably not. Looks like he's doubtful right now, unless something dramatic changes. Here's a cute one. I figured Timmy and Daryl both might get a chuckle out of this. Nicholas Cromwell thinks he's playing on Thursday.
Oh, he does he?
Yes. Here is the quote too. Cromwell, right now they're listing his back injury and not his knee. Hopes to play in Thursday's preseason. Hopes to play this week, as well as since he played. Because he played last Thursday. So,
just say no. Get healthy.
Yeah, the LTIR is indeed calling for him.
Seriously.
Yeah.
A slight groin injury, that's all?
Slight groin injury. Yeah, there's some minor ones in here. By the way.
I don't know about you guys, but I have never had a minor groin injury.
Hey, my favorite was the Mike Milbury. Oh, it's a mild. Let's see. It's a and this was in the same 5-minute segment. A mild concussion and a mild groin injury.
Yeah. Hey, you know Mike's going to be in the broadcast booth. He's making a limited comeback, limited run comeback, because of course Eddie Olczyk is battling cancer right now. And so filling in the booth with Mike Emmerich is going to be Mike Milbury. So get your recorders going. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, I don't even know what to think of this. Timmy, just so you know, the flu is back in the league already.
Just goes to tell you that some of these players don't take flu shots seriously.
Well, I mean,
that's what I tend to think.
Right. At least Zdeno Chara managed to wash his hands.
Yes.
Eventually. Sven Berchi did not, though. He'll hopefully be fine. Hopefully. That was the quote from new Canucks coach Travis Green. Also, Bo Horvat is supposed to play on Saturday. Supposed to. But it's no guarantee. Travis Green has mastered the art of hedging already as an NHL coach, so I'll give him a ton of credit for that. So we'll see how he looks. Some of the other injuries, Patrick Hornquist could be okay for Wednesday. His hand is healing, I guess, quick enough. And of course, speaking of that other flu bug, keep an eye on Mikael Neuwirth, who has been battling it pretty much since the middle of the week. Just putting it out there, not that he's going to start, other than maybe once on the West Coast trip, but it's just something to at least take a look at. But it's always the usual. Let's see, this time of year it's usually shoulder and groin. Usually shoulder or groin. Among the list of injuries.
And this year we got the rare jaw preseason injury.
That's true. Hey, we also got a puck to the throat injury, unfortunately.
Yes.
With Al Montoya. And Zach Parise's back has gone wonky again. For those who don't remember last year's playoffs, where Zach Parise was literally getting cortisone shots after almost every game, which you're not supposed to, according to most doctors. He is questionable right now for Thursday, as of this moment. We're going to send Michael Russo into Zach Parise's bedroom to see the latest. Yeah, I went there. I had to.
Ouch.
Hey, it's true, though. I mean, look, again, Anton Slepyshev, wash your hands. God, guys, this is like six or seven guys that seriously had the flu this week. That's crazy. I mean,
really?
No, Timmy. Not good. Not good. I don't want to get sick. But yeah, there's this time of year, unfortunately, and it's weird. Like for example, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is having knee issues again. Last year it was actually his wrist that was giving him the most problems. So that's another thing you want to keep an eye on. Patrick Eves looks good for next week. Nobody's really worried about Ryan Getzlaf's day-to-day injury. No one cares about Kevin BX's either. He is going to play. And another illness, but apparently he'll be okay. Nick Beep Beep Richie will apparently be able to play next week as well. It appears like the flu bug is starting to loosen its grip.
Yep.
And Timmy, your favorite, Ryan Miller, still day-to-day with a shoulder injury.
You know you need to brush up on things a little bit when you forget about Ryan Miller signing in the offseason.
Yeah. Anaheim of all teams. And it should be interesting. I mean, that's one place where he really could do well, just because. Hey, Pacific's not that deep of a division, to be honest.
No. Outside of Edmonton, and I still like Anaheim's chances, but outside of those two, and maybe Calgary.
Yeah, we know John Gibson can be wonky.
Yep.
So it's going to – look, it could be a fun season in the NHL. Just for that. That and to see who the heck comes out of the Metro Division in one piece.
Really?
I'm fully expecting a bigger war. I don't know what it is, but I saw some of the predictions, and guys, at least not even from a fantasy hockey standpoint, could somebody check on Kevin Allen and make sure he's okay? I'm worried.
Just trying to figure the Metro out. I'll tell you another division that's pretty tough to figure out right now. It's the Atlantic. Not as bad as the Metro, but my God. The whole East, for that matter.
This is going to be rough. Even the Central is going to confuse the living daylights out of me. I did the season primers and the previews for my NHL trade rumors with Mark Eason and company. Mark Eason, Michael Agiello, Todd Cordell, and Hunter Hodes, who's all excellent writers. And the first thing we all said was, okay, the Metro is going to be the hardest division. That's pretty much a given at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Pacific is probably the easiest to predict within reason, at least the top teams. Okay.
And I think we gave you those top teams right now.
Right.
Just a few moments ago.
And then, you know, you'll have your fantasy side bits and such. The Central is a real wild card because nobody knows how the heck a team like Dallas is going to do under Ken Hitchcock. Ken Hitchcock, year one in most locations, does pretty well.
For the first 22. 2 years, he does really well. I mean,
yeah, I'll even
his
go
record
first,
has been outstanding the last 5 years.
Right. It's usually like late in year two or year three in a place where he starts to go a little bit downhill. And I'm throwing out the first Dallas stint just because it doesn't follow the script. So I can't use it because that was his first coaching gig. That would be unfair or something. But I'm interested to see a healthy Ben and a healthy Sagan at the same time.
It's going to be magical. Absolutely magical.
Because that didn't happen last year, I think, more than maybe a handful of games. They were both extremely banged up. And you know, Ben came off, you know, a multitude of injuries in the offseason the year before and never really fully recovered all year. And Tyler Seguin kind of, had a few minor bumps and bruises, but nothing like what Ben suffered through.
I mean, we have a better goaltending situation going into this season. That's something that people need to realize, I think.
Yeah, Ben Bishop is definitely an upgrade over Antti Niemi. There's no question about that.
Or Kari Lehtinen, or whoever.
Well, Lehtinen will still probably play about 20 games, I'm thinking. I heard 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
But the defense will be better in front of him.
Yeah,
my only concern is, and I have this is the part where Chris puts on his reading spectacles. let's see what happened to Mr. Honka.
Well, Honka, I think Honka is going to be the short man out on this one. Look for Elsa Lindo. Look for him to take over that role. I think Hunk is going to have a hard time getting into the top four, and if he's not in the top four, he's not really helpful, and so he's better off in the AHL. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him go down there, especially since he does not have to pass through waivers.
Yeah. Here is the concern that at least that I had heard. They may actually keep him up temporarily as the seventh defenseman, more of as a teaching tool. I had heard this from Mike Hyka a couple times in the preseason.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
The first time I heard it, I didn't put much stock into it because you sit there and it's like, oh, training camp just started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could he possibly? And then, of course, well, here it is 2 days ago, and then yesterday again. It looks like a distinct possibility.
Well,
so.
It's there's certainly a lot of sense in that because he certainly could use it. It would be fine, and then he could join the AHL team later on. It certainly makes sense.
Yeah, because
you can learn a lot just by being in the same room as Mark Mahaut.
It can't hurt. I mean, I'd admit he's one of those defensemen cerebral wise. That thinks the game in a different way than most. Remember, I think it was Murray Pam that said it to me last year when I was up in Ottawa. He compartmentalizes playing defense.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it.
And that's something that you rarely see. So that alone, you figure Dallas will probably drop at least a quarter to a third of goal game allowed. I would think at a minimum, and it could be more. It just depends on how often.
And then there's
Kari
Lehtinen
starts. I think that's more than enough. Like I said, I think there's teams that slide back enough. And it makes it. It's also the reason why even a team like Winnipeg could sneak in because there's enough teams that could fall back. That it's possible. Of course, Winnipeg has to learn how to not take a penalty all the time.
And stopping the puck would be a good thing for them as well.
Steve Mason still.
Yes. Yes.
When isn't there a lot of pressure on Steve Mason, it seems? Last year was a tough year for him. It's funny. They got rid of a goalie that was an absolute... no, I can't even say that one. I can't say he was a coronary for them. Because of what happened. So we can't do that. However...
No.
Andres Pavlich was definitely a nightmare for Winnipeg, fairly or unfairly. And towards last season, it did become a little ridiculous. what happened to him, to be fair. I mean, that's not something that anybody could deny. Is he an NHL goalie? Yeah, sure. Is he a starter? Probably not.
Is he even a backup at this point of his career?
Good luck with the Rangers. I saw the preseason game between the Rangers and the Flyers with him starting. And to be honest, for everybody listening out there, and I was asked what were my impressions of Pavlich. He made quite a few excellent saves. He made a couple mistakes, and one cost his team in overtime. And that's kind of how Pavlich plays most nights. If he doesn't see a lot of shots, he's awful. And I know you can say that about a lot of goalies. It's absolutely true. But he's one of those goalies that needs to get in a rhythm early. Otherwise, he checks out sometimes. He really does, and it's bad. And don't worry, the Rangers will find many ways for him to see 2-on-1s again, 2-on-0s, 3-on-1s, etc. That's going to happen early and often this year.
You mean Kevin Shattenkirk's not going to help resolve that situation?
I think he helps a little bit. I think ironically, and this is something that hasn't been talked about too much, I think he helps their penalty kill a little bit even as well. On your penalty kill, you need a guy that does know how to get the puck up the ice, and that is something that Shattenkirk normally knows how to do. I know I remember the Washington-Pittsburgh series very well, so before people say, well, oh, there was that one series with Pittsburgh where Shattenkirk had that game that was an absolute nightmare, which was talked about by everybody and analyzed on 36 different advanced statistics sites. Is there that many? I don't know. But all joking aside, it was mentioned quite a bit. But his 5-on-5 numbers, guys, are among the top 10 in the league when it comes to possession. People forget about it. I think the only test that is going to be with Shattenkirk, and he passed it pretty well in the regular season at Washington, is if he plays 23-24 minutes a night, how will it affect him later in the season? And that's the only unknown with him, really. Everything else is fine. And he's going to be a guy that gets 45 to 50 points probably for the Rangers. And that number could fluctuate depending on how the power play roles are doled out. I never say never with Alain Vigneault, guys. I really do. It's something that I get so confused by when he sets his lineups and he starts.
Yeah, at this point, how many more lives, the coaching lives, does he have?
I don't know. I honestly thought he would be fired after last year. I thought he lost the locker room. I really did. That Henrik Lundqvist rant in the playoffs. I thought at that point it's like, wow. Even if half of that was true, you would have to sit there and question things.
I know. He also comes from that mentality of, he's certainly not a conservative coach. He does have somewhat of that mentality that the likes of Claude Julien and the likes of Terry and Jacques Martin had.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're not going to put Darryl on the spot here.
But that sounds like you're going to.
Which means we are. And everybody knows it. When any person says this, that means they absolutely 110% are going to do the very thing they say they're not going to do.
It's true.
Darryl, who is going to win the Stanley Cup?
The Stanley Cup this year. Well, there is an old expression, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I think that expression is true. And until someone knocks the Penguins off, they're going to win it again. A three-peat. It's been a long time since that's happened, but this is a club that can do it.
Yes.
I agree with that.
I just don't know if the odds are going to be in their favor, even though they clearly are preseason right now. I just think eventually, having played into June for two straight years and a couple long playoff runs before that, I think eventually time is going to not be on their side, if you know what I mean.
I understand. I totally understand. Yeah. But if they were to achieve it, though, what an achievement it would be.
Yes.
to go through the playoffs as they're structured now. You'd have to start considering them one of the great teams of all time. If they were to win it.
Yep.
If they were to win three in a
true.
Row.
That would put Crosby on a whole new pedestal, too. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's on a pretty incredible one as well. But to captain a team to three straight cups, I mean.
In this age of the salary cap?
Yeah.
It could be amazing.
Amazing activity. But you look at the team, I mean, a healthy Letang and the rest of that defensive core, I'll match those with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even Nashville, if Letang's healthy. You know, they've got a tremendous depth, top 1 through 9 up forward. You know, tremendous, you know, speed, agility, everything you need up front. And then they've got Matt Murray. I mean, all the kid has done is won 2 cups.
He's found a way each time. He really has.
Each time he's found a way. The only drawback is that is now he doesn't have Marc-Andre Fleury as the backup. Now it's Niemi.
And as weird as this is sound, I think Niemi's better off in Pittsburgh than almost anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, he could certainly be protected in Pittsburgh.
Just play him at home.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
That was one of the most uncanny stats of last year was Antti Niemi's home splits compared to his road splits.
Play him at home.
Just absolutely insane.
Yeah, you know, and of course the back end of the back to backs.
Well, we're praising Pittsburgh, and I think
we're all putting them in the cup right now, and deservingly so. I want to ask, which team has the best shot at knocking off Pittsburgh at any point this season, eliminate whether it's in the East or in the cup final?
Well, if you're asking me, and I guess you are, then I look towards a young team, a team whose window is just opening, a team that boasts the second best player in the NHL, and that'd be the Edmonton Oilers.
Absolutely. For me, anyway, for the West. I got to look in the East, though, if this team's ready to take the next step and win a first round. I can see him even going further, and that's Columbus.
Good choice.
Columbus is a good one. I think they do take a step back, and it's not because of anything they did, but just because of the division.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this now, and I hope I kind of am right on this. Somebody asked me who could possibly eliminate the Pittsburgh Penguins in a first-round matchup. I think it was Stephen Laidlaw of Dobber Hockey who had kind of joked around about this. Like, who is that team that could? It's the New York Islanders. The one team. And it would be 25 years, folks. Just about. When David Volek scored that goal that broke the hearts of Penguin fans everywhere. David Volek played left wing. This year it will be Anders Lee. Anders Lee will be the reason the Penguins don't repeat.
Spooky.
Ooh.
Cue the music. That's very spooky.
I couldn't believe it. It's almost like the one NFL stat the one baseball stat I saw yesterday. What was I thinking? NFL? No, actually baseball, folks. And this was like one of those eerie, like backdoor, like almost like a palindrome stat. Or like last year's 4 wild card teams that made the playoffs We're a combined 74 under 500 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before, those four teams combined to be exactly 74 games over 500. That's pretty crazy. And
the magic of numbers.
Yeah, the true palindrome of palindromes, which I think may happen to a certain team named Columbus this year. Now, of course, a lot's going to have to occur for that to be the case. And it is. I mean, look. Is Columbus going to reach 106 points? No. Are they going to drop to somewhere in the 80s? Probably not. Will they be somewhere in the middle? Sure. But that's where some of these predictions get really interesting. And I love when I see a lot of the advanced stats projections come out. And then I get amused because those are from like 3 weeks ago. Lots changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at some of the teams. It's like, well, St. Louis was predicted to, I think, be a little like right around 100 points, Darrell. And they have they have a half dozen injuries right now, and at least three of those are significant.
I don't know how they're going to make that ground up. I would definitely take the over and under on that. I'd take the under.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like we said, Fabry's out for the season. Steen is questionable right now.
Steen is Steen.
Yeah, I worry about him during the season regardless, just because and he stay healthy. Bowmeister is supposed to be back either this week or next week. But again, Bowmeister's, I believe, 34, if I remember right.
Yeah. I mean, the thing they got going for them is they've got some nice young forwards who normally you could just sort of slot in from time to time, guys like, Tig Thompson. But to throw them in and say, we need, need to be on our second line is a big ask. It's a big ask this early in the season and so early in their careers.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're saying this year, even for fantasy hockey. I know I say this every year that there's always going to be some series of wild events that set a year apart from others. And this year's no exception.
Yeah, I mean, year number 100.
Jeez. I can't believe it. God, this is what? God, this is year 32 of me playing fantasy hockey. Damn. Now I do feel old.
Yeah. Did they even have computers back then, Grandpa?
Oh, geez. Well,
we used pen and pencil back then.
We used pen, pencil, and a newspaper called The National, Darrell.
Wow.
Well, we used the hockey news. They still had box scores back then.
Yep. I remember this well, and you would get the hockey news on a weekly basis. So if you had any doubts when you looked it up in either your local paper or say a national paper, you had the hockey news to fall back on because that was the correct
that's right.
box scores
that
for
was,
that week.
That was the official scoring.
Jeez, like I said, that's just something in itself that you just. Your mind gets blown
it's
away
crazy.
By.
Now you can do it on your telephone by voice. By voice, you can set your roster now.
Damn technology. Damn it.
Siri, please Marc-Andre Fleury as my starter for tonight.
Ding, ding. How would you like to do that? Here are the fantasy leagues that you are in right now. Jesus. And yet it's true. Wow. But like we said to people, again, going to be a crazy year. I am in the process of forming a quote-unquote experts league. Hopefully I can do this in the next 48 hours. No pressure or anything. I'm still trying to find the right format because you try to get 12 different people to agree on one format, and it's like negotiating with.
Yeah, you just almost have to pick it yourself and say, this is our format. Do you want to
deal
play
with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we're going to do. And the plan is, it will be free, it will be for bragging rights, and it will be written about a lot. Because, well, that's the whole point of these types of leagues, is to have fun with, to see what went right, what went wrong, and what went absolutely sideways. So, Darryl, like I've said always, you're more than welcome to come on. And I
Thank
probably
you.
Will email you with said fantasy hockey invite. I'd invite
Kevin. I will keep my eyes open for it.
I'd invite Kevin, but the last time I was in a league with him, I beat him so badly he doesn't want to play in a league with
Ooh,
me anymore.
That's bold talk.
I remember that. He was mad. The only person I lost to was some guy that we're talking to right now. That was the year I finished second to you.
Yes.
I came so close. I sat there. For those that don't know, we had the Inside Hockey League. And with about a month left, I think I was like 32 points behind you. And I'm like, it's like if I had started off a little bit stronger in the beginning of the season. Because basically, for the first 4.5 months, Darryl was wiping the walls with us. It was so outrageously bad that you would just look up at the standings and go every day and go,
there he goes.
Oh, there he goes again. There he goes again. And there, oh, come on. Do his guys ever
stop
scoring?
That's when you think
scoring?
You're gaining a little bit of ground, too.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. And then finally, like, the last 4 weeks of the season, I started gaining finally. My team woke up miraculous. Well, it wasn't like my team was that bad in the first place. It's just Darryl's team finally cooled off from global thermonuclear hot to, like, just hot. And I was able to catch a wave, and it was just like, I can catch him. I can catch him. I ran out of season. I think I got within about 2.5 or 3 points.
You got real close to the crown.
I thought I had it. I actually, at the time, the last like week or two, I think Kevin and the guys were doing like point updates, like as the night was going on. And at one point, I had chipped it down to about a point, and I'm sitting there. It's like, I could actually do this. And then, unfortunately, my goalie lost so that night, and I was just like, oh, that's it. And, I kind of knew. It's like, all right, so I lost by 2.5 points. I was like, you know what? I was like, maybe next time I'll start a little bit faster.
There you go.
But it just goes to show you that you never quite know with
Yeah, you just have to play every single day. I mean, it sounds cliche, but it's so true. Every single day, because you're not really the coach, you're only the general manager. You know, if one of these days we might have a fantasy league where you could say, okay, end the first period, any changes in your lineup. You know, wouldn't that be a fantastic game? But for now, we don't have that. But
it's coming.
It is coming, but right now we're just sort of general managers. You just make the best team you possibly can, put them out there, and then that's it. It's out of your hands.
Absolutely. We have one bit of piece of news before we go, because we said all things happen right around between 9:20 and 9:40, and this is no exception. The Flyers are expected to bring 8 defensemen on their West Coast trip. That's straight from literally Ron Hextall in the last few minutes. It looks like Gostisbehere has an upper body injury and will be reevaluated tomorrow. This means, that's right, 3 different Flyers rookie defensemen all make the team. So Sanheim, Morin, and Hag all make it, which is good news for one of my dynasty fantasy teams that had Sanheim and kept hoping, come on, you can do this. But they're going to bring 8 defensemen with them. And like we said, Thanks to Daryl for coming on.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Anytime.
And as always, Timmy for co-hosting with me. And we're actually going to see you next week, as Timmy and I may just recap the entire Canadiens Rangers game.
Yes.
From
we
about
might do
the
our own
period on.
Commentary for this.
I'm wondering if I can actually stream this since I have the laptop to do it now.
Yeah.
I can actually run two things at once and it doesn't explode. So again, folks, you can catch the show on iTunes. Unbelievably, it downloads usually within about an hour and a half or 2 hours. Just look for that goddamn stinking Nightmare Bear. Yeah, we really did use the Nightmare Bear for our program art.
Yeah.
I want to Photoshop it to say the program. At some point, we'll work on that, but eventually.
Yeah. We need the Days of York crew to do that. I miss them.
Well,
thank
we can
God
just
they're
get,
back. Because the
yeah, we
can whole
just
season
get,
without
yeah.
them was bad.
Bad. It was. All right, folks. We will see you next week. For myself, Mr. Rosenthal, and Mr. Daryl Houston Smith, this is the program signing off for Sunday night.